Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sci-Fi Unchained. Really quick, I just wanted to invite everyone to join our social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Well, there is a Twitter, but I don't really use it that much. And to be honest, all I use Facebook and Instagram for is funny memes, a compelling conversation or two, and an occasional episode update. But anyway, come on over and join us and enjoy the episode. Okay, so as with the two previous episodes, spoilers ahead for WandaVision Episode 3. Let's get into it. So this episode is titled Now in Color. And it's clear that this is in reference to the transition between the 60s and 70s eras of television. And, well, the show happens to be in color now instead of black and white. So it's pretty on the nose there. It has some classic 70s sitcoms era opening tropes, borrowing from shows like The Brady Bunch, obviously. I like how the show has had a laugh track that has also been consistent with the eras. Like in the previous two eras, the sound was muffled when there was a laugh track. Actually, the audio in general was kind of muffly. As one might have expected it to have been back in the day. But I can't praise the show enough for its design. Every aspect of design, by the way. I would be surprised if this show did not win some kind of award for it. Okay, so there's a doctor that makes a house call to check on Wanda and her pregnancy. And we see Wanda's even more pregnant than she was in the end of the previous episode. And of course, all of the corny doctor pregnancy related humor ensues. I think the funniest, the most obvious bit was the doctor going, "Well, when a man and a woman love each other very much." And the funniest bit was easily the doctor talking about the fruit being the size of the baby during different segments of the pregnancy. And the last one was honeydew. That's just some kind of dad humor that makes me chuckle more and more as I get older, I guess. So as Vision is walking the doctor out, he notices his next-door neighbor, Herb, trimming his hedges by his concrete wall bordering their lawns. And this gives us a really weird moment. It reminded me of Sims, like one of the many glitches that you would run into in the Sims games that would be super fun and you would laugh your butt off at. So it's this really surreal moment when Herb starts to cut through the wall with his electric hedge trimmers. Vision calls attention to it in a friendly way. Herb thanks him and acknowledges what he's doing. And with a weird smile, he continues to cut through the wall while staring at Vision. Vision, understandably, kind of looks like he's uncomforted by this, and he's very confused, and he goes back inside. So is Herb being simmed? Is he being controlled? Is he a sim? Is he a sim doing a sim thing that one of the Sims patches that's hilarious to read has to fix? Is it by Wanda? And it's being messed with a little bit. Is it glitching because of her pregnancy? And that's kind of futzing with her powers over people. I don't know. That's a really good question that I hope we get an answer to. Probably won't get an answer to it anytime soon, depending on how fast the show wants to go. In some aspects, the show's going very quickly. In others, it's taking its sweet time. but considering there's only 9 episodes, I mean, it's tough to balance. There's a lot that people want to see, and the people at Marvel are very smart at knowing what people want to see, and they very often give it to us. So we'll see. Vision goes back into the house, and Wanda is easily 2 months more along, being 4 months along according to the doctor. So now she's 6 months according to Vision and his book on pregnancy. They debate over child names, Tommy and Billy, being the names of Wanda's twins in the comics, all but kind of confirming that she is having twins as she did in the comics. So what does that mean? That means that we'll get Agatha Harkness, that we'll get Mephisto, that we'll get a muddle of Wanda's. Wanda has a couple of storylines about her kids. In one of them, she has them, but they're imaginary, and anytime she doesn't think about them, they disappear. Another, I think it is a different story that this happens, but they're extensions of Mephisto's soul. It's all over the place. So I'm really, really interested to see where this goes. So I like the reasonings behind Wanda and Vision's wanting to name the kid. Wanda wants an all-American sounding name, which makes perfect sense because she seems like she's created this all-American sitcom loving world. So it would match up that she wants a name to fit. Vision, being an intellectual, wants to name their child after William Shakespeare. I thought that was a fun little nerdy nod. Wanda starts having false labor contractions as Vision practices changing the diaper on a toy doll. He's very adorably attempting to prepare to be a parent as he found out all of a couple of hours ago. And we can confirm that this episode takes place not just hours after the last episode. So the time lapse, there's no time gap almost. It's a time gap of a couple of hours, not a day or a week or a month, or however long sitcoms like to skip around during in between episodes. So we can definitely say that these episodes are happening fairly sequentially, fairly close in time to each other. So yeah, he takes on the shock of becoming a parent and having to prep for it, I think, very well, especially for someone who really hasn't been alive that long. Or alive, dead, and then alive again. So what were they doing? Oh, right, the doll. So they also practice breathing exercises that are advised for women who go into labor. And the house starts going haywire. All the electronics are going nuts. There's bubbles filling up in the sink for some reason. Ice starts falling out of the ice machine. And if there is a glitch in the, if there is a continuity error in this show that I can find, it's that there's ice falling out of an ice machine in a house in the 70s. And later on, Wanda tells the character Geraldine that there's a brand new ice maker installed directly into the door of the fridge. And Geraldine says, oh, well, aren't you fancy? As if this is something that wasn't supposed to be there. So I understand. Again, I'll give all the credit I can to the designers that they wanted to make as much havoc as possible. But And I get it. This is a very razor thin criticism, but it is still a criticism, and it's valid if you want to dig into the show at that deep and that detailed. But I mean, to be fair, that's fair, right? That's pretty well intentioned, because this is a show that's giving us a mountain of detail every episode for us to look at and comb through and go over with a fine tooth comb. So I stand by that paper thin criticism, I guess. So yeah, everything goes haywire. The power goes out, along with their whole block on the street. And Wanda is wondering if the neighbors know that the power outage is her fault. Vision starts to put certain strange puzzle pieces together in his head. He's listing off all the oddities he's seen. The dinner with the hearts, his conversation with Norm, Herb cutting through concrete with hedge trimmers. And he's starting to say, like, but it's not just that. Something's really wrong here, Wanda. And Wanda, you see this face on her as she's coming to the realization that Vision is starting to put two and two together. And then this really weird and clever thing happens. There's a cut to the previous few seconds before Vision starts to put two and two together. And when I first saw this, I thought it was an error. I thought they released the episode incorrectly and they just didn't fix it. And there is precedent for that. Circa the jeans guy in the Mandalorian show. And the internet will know what I'm talking about. There was a stagehand in jeans and a shirt off to the left in one of the shots in the previous season, in season two of The Mandalorian. Famous moment that Disney went back into that episode and had cut out. I really wish they left it there. But so I was like, is this one of those moments? But then the episode continues and I realized, oh no, this is Wanda manipulating this reality. Oh, this is spooky. Oh, is witchy spooky. As if there's a glitch in the matrix. And Vision goes back to before he started making connections. So this is so cool. And it's the showrunners and the writers letting us know that Wanda does in fact have a good modicum of power and influence over this reality. She doesn't want Vision digging too deep and getting to whatever truths there are. So constantly keeping him from finding things out however she can. And then Wanda starts to have real contractions. Her water breaks and it starts raining in the house. I've seen this in so many different movies, in sitcoms, and shows and things. It's funny, but it's eye-rollingly funny, I guess. So we get our mid-episode commercial for Hydra Soak Bubble Bath that's marketed towards getting away from it all and taking a break, showing a young mom, clearly meant to be a stand-in for Wanda, dealing with her young kids and their dog making constant messes all over their home. So I mean, it's clear that this is meant to be, you know, analogous to what Wanda is thinking about her immediate future life becoming. She's going to have some assumingly fast growing kids make messes all over the house, and she's hardly prepared for it, and she needs a break, or she's going to break, which if I mean, if you have friends that are women, and any of them have kids, you can see it in, you can see it in them, or the dads also. I mean, there's only so much of their toddlers that they can take before they just look like they're going to snap. So we get HydroSoak to scrub all your cares away. So while Wanda is practicing her breathing after the commercial, Geraldine shows up to borrow a bucket because she says all her pipes in her kitchen burst. And as Wanda is looking for the bucket, her contractions cause her magic to make her jacket change a couple of times, which I thought was pretty funny. We've kind of seen that if you watch shows like Charmed or Bewitched or I Dream of Jeannie, Hell, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, I'm pretty sure that's happened in all of those witchy kind of shows. So I like the trope callback. And then as she and Geraldine are talking about Geraldine's job, the stork they painted on the baby room wall, it comes to life, and Wanda tries to keep Geraldine from noticing the stork. It is interesting to note that she can't magic the stork away or change it back into paint or a pot or anything. She can't control this stork. It's very strange because her magic can control an entire reality, it seems, but not the stork. Do we chalk this up to her pregnancy affecting how her magics are working, and it's causing them to glitch out or malfunction? I don't know. So I'm gonna go ahead and assume so. I know a lot of people have said this stork is clearly Mephisto. It's biting the trousers Geraldine's wearing because there's a fish on them, and the fish is the symbol of Jesus, and Mephisto is the devil, and now he's a bird. No, I don't dig that deep and go that crazy down that rabbit hole. So Vision runs and scoops up the doctor, brings him back to Wanda. She starts to give birth, and this causes her magics to make the house appliances go crazy again. There's a picture spinning on the wall. Vision arrives right as the baby is born, and they name him Tommy. And Wanda delivers her second boy, Billy, soon after. She screams in Vision's face, which I thought was funny. And again, this is something that's happened in a billion different shows and movies. So Vision walks out the doctor, and the doctor says a strange line about how small towns are so hard to escape. And he says it in such a way that makes me, an audience member, go, really? Are they really, doctor? Is it hard to get out of here? I wonder what's keeping you here, doc. So after that, Vision starts talking with Agnes and Herb, who are standing by the concrete wall Herb just cut into. Agnes asks if Geraldine is inside with Wanda and tells Vision that Geraldine does not actually live in Westview. What? Inside, Wanda tells Geraldine that she had a brother and she was also a twin, and sings a Sokovian lullaby to the twins, and Geraldine asks if, she states, and then she kind of poses the statement as a question, that Wanda's brother was killed by Ultron, breaking character as she does. Ooh. Vision inquires about Geraldine, and Herb is on the verge of answering him when Agnes stops him with a look of fear, like she's terrified what Wanda will do if she finds out, maybe. How big brother is Wanda in this in this reality. I don't know. So Wanda notices that Geraldine has a sword logo necklace and tells her it's time for her to leave. And then we cut to Geraldine flying out of town, of the town of Westview, to be greeted by soldiers stationed at an encampment outside of Westview. I assume this is a sword encampment. And we can see a strange wall-like structure surrounded by floodlight pillars. So is this the border of this pocket dimension that has enveloped this town? Is this town a real town? Is it a bubble reality that Wanda is controlling on some level? Did she create it or have it made and is playing a major influential role inside for whoever did it? This episode was clearly previewed, by the way, by that weird line in the previous episode, for the children. Ugh. And it gives us a glimpse as to what the extent, to what extent the citizens of Westview are under Wanda's control. So it was almost like it was guiding Wanda to give her what she wants. That seems to be the end goal of this dimension, to serve Wanda and give her what she wants, a family. She wanted Vision as her husband, and she wants kids. So this episode doesn't lean as much into Agatha Harkness being Agnes as much as I would really have wanted it to, but the hints are there if you scratch on the surface enough, I guess. I also really liked Vision's callback to Shakespeare's line from As You Like It, the famous, "All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players," poking at the fact that this is in fact a show within a show and that the people are unwitting participants. Like The Truman Show with Jim Carrey. That was a stupid awesome movie. So we have a lot of questions like, who is Geraldine? Is she with S.W.O.R.D.? If this reality is being monitored or ran by S.W.O.R.D., is she supposed to be like a handler for Wanda or something? Are the commercials analogs for Wanda, her family, and their situation? Or, how they're going to run into things in the future, or possibly the next episode? I think this will be one of the last question-heavy episodes. It's the first third. If you cut up the season, which is only 9 episodes, into acts, this is the first act. So it's the rising action of the season, and then this next 3 episodes would be the next third, and then the final 3 episodes would be the resolution. So I see us getting baby steps towards actually having answers. And if I'm correct in my my metaphor, my very terrible metaphor about them having structured this like a play, then I think we'll start getting episodes, we'll start getting answers next episode as we get to our climactic arc, 3 episodes. The thing I want to see the most is Agatha Harkness revealed as Agnes and her being all mentor-like as she is in the comics, and for us to see what kind of big bad we're going to get, assumedly, at the end of the season. I don't expect a huge fight or anything, but if we could get some kind of rumble, that would be a fantastic way to end the season. I would absolutely love it. And it would set us up beautifully for Multiverse of Madness and Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But that is all I had for right now, guys. Thank you so much for tuning back into Sci-Fi Unchained. But for now, stick around. Oh, well. No, there's no more. There's no more for right now. So for right now, guys, live long and prosper, and may the force be with us all. Thank you.